Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. We have a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes, from setting a post or pouring a walkway to installing concrete block or natural stone. We've got the mix you need in stock today. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5. Glad you could join us this morning. I just don't know. I'm lost on this Astros pitching staff right now. Just lost. Of course, it was Cody Bolton instead of Hunter Brown. But, man, Ryan Weiss comes in and he gets lit up, bruh. Getting out. Ryan Weiss came over, a big, strong dude, and looked great in the spring. And it just was like, okay, got a good guy coming out of the bullpen. Cody Bolton, you know, gives up. He wouldn't let him get to the five innings because he had a couple runners on. And then Ryan Weiss just hit after hit after hit. Holy crap. Just gets, this is that, like, the, it was like you were facing the 27 Yankees.
Yeah.
I know who Mickey Moniak is because he was with the Angels for a little bit.
Right.
These guys, this lineup, it's not a major league lineup, and you're getting waylaid.
Shelled.
Holy crap.
Yeah. It's not been the better part of the Astros season so far, in their brief season has been better than expected hitting and poor pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been below average. Yeah, there's some pockets of guys who have done well, but your starters have had more bad games than good games. You've had the bullpen has just had too many holes in it. It's just not good from a pitching standpoint right now.
You're never out of it, though.
I mean, it's because they're hitting. It's because they're hitting.
No.
You know, they're hitting right now. It's good seeing Cam Smith get one yesterday.
Yep, Cam Smith is looking nice at the plate, man. His OPS is over 1,000. He's looking nice.
He's looking good so far, which is great. You have to. You got him for Kyle Tucker. There's really no choice. Cam Tucker has to come through and become a good player. But, you know, they are fighting back offensively. It's just it's too early to make any definitive statements. But this was like a big concern for me, was that I just didn't know where the pitching was going to come from, because you don't – just the offense – the pitching was not – you don't have a lot of guys who you feel like are sustainable. Like Lance McCullers, I just don't feel like is sustainable. Based on his history.
Yeah.
But I was very pleased with what he did the first game. Imai, I think, is going to have his ups and downs, but he's, you know, he's got a live arm. Burrow's going to be okay. I think he's going to be okay. We'll see. Maybe better than okay, hopefully. Hunter Brown can't afford to lose Hunter Brown for 2, 3, 4 games with any injuries. You can't. You just don't have enough pitching to lose. Those turn into losses. Wins turn into losses. It's one thing to lose Christian Javier for 4 games, because his is a potential average to below average start that turns into whatever it turns into. You just can't really afford to have a good start to turn into a bad start, which is what happens when you lose Hunter Brown. You know, you got a bad start coming more than likely.
Yeah, maybe I don't know Ryan Weiss. Maybe he's just not suited to come out of the pen like that. He settled down a little bit and gave you a couple two and two-thirds innings. But you have got to solidify this rotation. It's bad. It's really bad right now. You got Hunter Brown, who is hurt, and you got and Emi, basically. You need a nice start today. Unfortunately, you're doing it in Colorado. But those weren't a bunch of Colorado hits.
No.
No, those were – Ryan Weiss was getting plastered.
They were hit hard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so those were exit velo hits.
Yep.
And not fly balls that just took off, you know. So it's a concern. I mean, Burroughs really has to step up and become – a for sure top three starter in Major League Baseball for the Astros. You just don't have any choice.
It starts today.
Yeah, he's got to have a good start here.
So Christian Walker continues. I mean, it's really nice to see what he's doing. But Cam Smith over 1,000 OPS right now, hitting in that six hole. Jose Altuve is still. I mean, another three hits yesterday. He just is this approach that he has taken. He told somebody this preseason, he said, watch, I'm changing everything. He did say he wasn't going to step toward the plate anymore, and he still does it.
He still does it. Well, that's muscle memory. He's never getting
it. He's never going to be able to not do that. But you know what? He's a Hall of Famer. Why are you messing with it anyway? What the thing that he needed to do more than anything, he's doing. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, be more selective. Don't be wild at the plate. How about in the first inning, he's challenging with the ABS on the first pitch. He's challenging a ball or a strike call.
Altuve.
He's the one who said, I'm not going to be using it. I won't be using it.
Yeah.
He's using it more than anybody.
Wow, he's got 12 walks this year. He leads the team in walks. I mean, he's got double-digit walks. He's got 12 walks. You have four hitters over 1,000 OPS. I mean, there's definitely positive on this team, without question. Walker has turned around up to this point. Cam Smith is, you know, after a tiny little slow start with a few games, he's looking like a confident young player who, you know, I always had hopes that this is who he could be. I don't know. It's not going to stay at 1,000, but I think the Astros had hopes. He was clicked in as a big-time minor league prospect. This is kind of who he's supposed to be. So it just depends on when he gets there and how high he gets. Altuve, though, Altuve's new approach, Altuve's, you know, the return of Yordan's been a big deal. But here's the thing, return of Christian Walker, return of Yordan, Jose Altuve is like a brand-new player. All this, and you're sitting there 6-5 because you just don't have the pitching. That's a real bummer. That's a real concern because this kind of hitting can't – I don't think they can sustain this. They got a bunch of guys that are hitting well.
No, you got
– Or better than expected.
Well
some of them have fallen off, I guess.
You can certainly – Yiner just looks lost. He had a nice hit yesterday going the other way. You know, that might get him out of it. Just flipping – just, you know, trying to flick one the other way as opposed to – He's swinging at everything and anywhere. He's the anti-Altuve right now.
Right.
He's Altuve from the past, just swinging at anything. I mean, Christian Vasquez wouldn't be a bad option right now at the plate because Yiner just looks like he's lost. Carlos comes up with more guys in scoring position game after game after game, and he just is leaving so many guys on base. It just is. It's a little disheartening. He's got more at bats with the bases loaded than the whole team combined. So he's really got to come through. And you know, I was talking to my buddy who knows. He said he doesn't care if he bats. He just doesn't care. He just wants to be in the lineup. He just wants to contribute. He does not care about that kind of stuff. Christian Walker might be a better option in the four hole and Carlos in the five hole
right now. Yeah. Yeah,
and Carlos does not have that ego. You know, you do that out of respect for an older player, but Christian Walker's an older player as well, and you got to really look at the way. Of course, Christian Walker is picking him up time and time again. You know, whenever Carlos is unable to come through, the way Christian Walker is approaching at the plate this year just is fantastic.
You know, but here's the thing though, I don't really think that like. Yeah, we're talking about whatever lineup, but the lineup's producing runs.
Yeah.
You can move guys here and there. You got anybody you can move around in the pitching staff, John? Can you move some guys around in the bullpen that you can think of and fix this or move? Here's what I don't like. There's a new guy imploding every day in the roster, in the pitching staff. I don't like that. And it's early. I don't want to, you know, I don't want to act like one bad outing means they're terrible, but they weren't exactly accomplished. There's not a lot of accomplished pitchers or guys who have track records. Like, I can't, I don't consider Christian Javier a track record anymore. Not after 3 years of nothing. That's not really a track record anymore. We talk about maybe not continuing to talk about CJ Stroud's rookie year. You got to go back a year further for Christian Javier, and with arm injuries that, you know, have taken him completely out. So we can't just keep going back to Christian Javier. Well, we're not. Actually, we're not doing that. But that's what I'm saying. There's no track record any longer with Christian Javier to forecast the future. You don't, with Lance McCullers, you just don't have it either because of, you know, all the injuries. And then, you know, so when Rice, you had, I mean, Weiss, you had Okert previously. Abreu is one of those guys who does have track record, who cannot afford, like, in this economy, you cannot have Abreu not be a plus pitcher. You just can't have that. You can't afford it. So
plus pitcher.
Yeah, and he's not a plus pitcher.
Not, I mean, he's a plus pitcher. He's been a disaster.
Yeah, I know. So it's kind of a miracle you're sitting at 6-5. If you really want to know,
it really is.
Every good start by a starting pitcher has turned into a win. That's the only way you've done it.
Well, you certainly didn't forecast Hunter Brown going down two starts into the season. That was his start. That was his spot last night in the rotation. You hope Mike Burrows is going to, and I think he will. I think Mike Burrows is going to be much better once he gets more comfortable in his skin here. He came out of spring training as the number two starter. So I think that you know what, he's going to show up. I don't have any hope for Christian Javier, if you want to know the truth. The question for me is going to be, how long do you continue to roll him out there as the third starter? How long can you afford to give up these starts? And it can't be, man, oh, man, if he comes up with a start in Colorado, that would be awesome. But tomorrow afternoon is game three of this series. I don't have any expectations, quite frankly, and I don't imagine the Astros have many expectations for what he's going to do.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think so either. Well, this is kind of what we're going to live with this year. I fear for the Astros is that you're just going to have a series of ups and downs. I don't think there's going to be a great deal of stability and consistency. The pitching staff's not really built that way relative to expectations for, you know, formerly injured pitchers, I think. So, you know, I just think we're going to deal with ups and downs, and you're just going to have to find some silver linings from time to time, and then somebody is going to have to come up with a year in the pitching set. You're going you need Hader back pretty quickly, and that's a closer. Oh, you got to be in that position, but you got to have Hader come back. You got to have Abreu get back into form, and you're going to have, you know, hopefully King, and I think King is the guy who's going to be up and down. That's just the nature of it. He started really well last year, then he got hit, beat up towards the second half of the season. That's just kind of the nature of bullpen pitchers. It's hard to have sustained. If you're not a setup man or a closer, most of those guys are transient pitchers who, you know, can last 2, maybe 3 years with a team, but then their performances go up and down. This is kind of who they are. So I would expect that for the inside the year, but finding another starter almost feels mandatory, to find at least one starter potentially to replace Christian Javier. You know, it could tighten up. Like, you could say Hunter comes back. It's 15-day IL. If Hunter comes back okay and Imai, you know, continues to grow and Burrows locks in as a number three, even if it's average number three, I'll take it. Then maybe you're saying, well, if Lance McCullers can give you good starts every other start, you get a good start from Lance McCullers, I'm willing to take that from the fifth starter. Then you're going to have to find someone from Javier, because I really feel pretty – like, you better start getting a contingency plan together for Javier. There's no signs that he should be pitching on a major league level right now. His stuff is – I looked at all of his swing-miss stuff. I looked at all of his strikes. I looked at everything on Fangraphs on Christian Javier. It's two starts, but it also leads into what happened with last year. If you go most recent history, it's just there's nothing – I tried to find anything I could. Is there any metric? Is there anything – and the best I could find is the exit velo is kind of similar to last year. And last year wasn't a good year. So there's just nothing I can find with Christian Javier. So he's going to have to magically become somebody he hasn't even shown. He hasn't even flashed this year. Yeah. So that's, I mean, to me, you have to. Bolton doesn't look like the guy. So you're going to have somebody get ready for Christian Javier's spot, I fear. And you asked that question yesterday. I don't think you can just keep rolling with this version of Christian Javier, more than four games. I don't know. It really shouldn't be playoffs or bust. I don't think you should be looking at that this early in the season. Like, we can't afford to give any games away. But honestly, Christian Javier is like, this is embarrassing. So you're going to have to find somebody who can step into his spot in the rotation. You got to be thinking about that already. And who are those guys going to be? You had guys who did a pretty good job from the minor leagues last year that came up and did a pretty good job.
Blue ball down there.
Blue ball will have to go.
Jason Alexander.
I mean, Blue ball got shelled. He's one of those guys I mentioned who, like, every day there's a new pitcher. But, well, you're not worried about, but also he has no sustained history.
No, well, he came up and did a nice job last year. I mean,
two games
right now, this rotation, you got to just throw it against the wall and see what sticks. That's about all you can do right now with this rotation. And it's so funny. I thought coming out of spring that that was going to be the strength. And look at this offense. Holy crap. It is fantastic. You're never out of a game right now. Never out of a game. And it's the most unexpected. Who expected Christian Walker to have this kind of start? Cam Smith, who was so up and down to be as good as over 1,000 OPS. Jose Altuve with plate discipline. Yordan coming back from the hands the way that he did.
But at least those are guys who have histories. Like, Christian Walker's got a history. Yordan's got a history. Altuve's got a history. Cam is just a good prospect who, like, it's not a Jake Meyers thing where you're like, well, where the hell did this come from? Cam was a top prospect. So those are all understandable. Yiner's got to pull his head out. This is getting crazy. Like, Yiner, the great hitter that we saw from Yiner, really good hitter. I mean, that guy's got to show up again.
Yep. And Carlos has to step up.
Carlos has to step up, but he's got, Carlos has history. Like, I'm not.
I think Jeremy's looking better. Jeremy's had a nice night last night. He's swinging a bat nicely. I think Jeremy will be okay. Jake came up with a nice hit off the wall again. That was nice. Jake doing the job last night. He's playing fine, and people were getting on him for missing that ball the other day. He lost it in the sun,
right?
You know that, right? I mean, everybody's like, "How you so can't miss
don't
this
lose
ball?
It.
I hate Jake Meyers. Jake Meyers shouldn't be out there. Jake Meyers. I mean, the left fielder lost the ball the day before with Christian Javier. He lost the ball in the sun. He lost the ball. So I mean, in that minor league ballpark, you got a sun game. That stuff like that happens. There's plenty of reason to get on Jake. Missing that ball in center field was not one of them. All right, we got a break.
Guys who don't lose the ball. Okay,
yeah, I like guys who don't. Lose
I like
the
guys
ball.
Who don't lose the ball in the sun. Maybe well, people are saying that.
Well, yeah, I like that too. Everybody likes, unless it's the other team. When they lost the ball on Christian Javier on Christian Vasquez's pop up, we were all fine with that, weren't we? Oh, that's okay. But when it's our guy, he stinks.
Yeah,
got to get him out of there. Come on.
Misplays by other people. But our guys, you better make the play.
Yeah, that's kind of how that's the.
That's about
how fans work.
That's how it works, yeah.
That's about right. We got a break. We got the national championship that I'm sure Lance was none too pleased with the end of the game last night. We will talk about that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I'm talking about Houston Powder Coaters. Love what they do. If you're somebody that buys brand new furniture set, I've seen businesses. Well, I think I can say it. Westside Tennis Club, they bought all new patio furniture. I mean, and they had, I don't know, there were 100-some chairs. Tables, 50, 40, 50 tables. And they were all lined up there at Houston Powder Coaters. And I'm like, oh, but they're all in their wrapper still. Well, they just bought them, and they're going to powder coat them before they put them out there. How smart is that? Now you got something that could last potentially. I mean, I'm not going to put a number on it, but infinity? Is that a good enough number for you? Well, I don't think infinity is.
ESPN.
But I will say this. Listen, is that like the Oscars you're trying to get me off?
Crazy.
Listen, if you're looking to powder coat something, if you buy something brand new, it'll last longer. It'll last longer if you powder coat it. Any metal that you have, car part, boat part, any patio furniture, whatever it is, if it's metal and you need to powder coat it, choose the powder coater is the way to go. Go look at their Better Business Bureau rating. Look at their Google reviews. Look at everything. They're number one. HoustonPowderCoaters.com. You have got to do this if you are going to put something out there in the elements in Houston. HoustonPowderCoaters.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Not the best game yesterday. The two teams really couldn't settle down, couldn't score, couldn't shoot straight. Wasn't great, but Michigan held out, played really, really good defense, and was just better at the end. And, Connecticut made it a game at the end, actually covered the 7-point spread and won by seven. I mean, how smart are they? Seven wasn't nearly enough because I'm positive at seven, more people I think were jumping on Michigan after the way that they blew out. Arizona was better all season long than UConn was. You get to the championship game. They're going to, just run over this UConn team. UConn held tough, played tough, and was absolutely, they should be proud of the way that they played, a much better team. And they ended up covering, which is the most important thing you could possibly do in the national championship game.
Well, it didn't seem like that after the game. They felt it looked like they were excited about winning, but yeah, they. I was happy to see Dan Hurley lose. I was happy for that.
He's kind of villainous.
He's really gone over the top. He didn't used to bother me, but the more I get a load of his act, the more egotistical he becomes. I was really happy. I know Dell hates the fans. I don't know the fans so much, but I just assume he's right on that one because people from the Northeast can be like that. But Dan Hurley really has. He sees himself as some larger than life character now, and it was good to see. I like Dusty May. I like Michigan. I like the. I was kind of thinking Arizona was going to roll through that, and then they got walloped by Michigan. Like, holy crap! Michigan contests every shot. You don't get. It's kind of old school in the way of how many guys that will come and challenge shots. Yesterday at the rim, you had UConn look like a fatigue team, didn't they? They've had some wars. UConn's been in some wars, and they look like a team yesterday that was just fatigued. Shot the ball very poorly yesterday, and Michigan was – and Michigan didn't exactly – Michigan wasn't taken off offensively either. That was a good scrap when it came to both teams missed shots, but both teams really defended, played with energy, but it was – that game, if it, had you not, what's his name? The Dominican player who has like a.
Cadeau?
No, who has like a, the Swedish name. I'm blanking on his name.
Oh, Lindeborg?
Yeah, Lindeborg. Had he not been beaten up, that game probably, that's probably a 15 to 16 point loss. I mean, yeah. he played through injury. Mara didn't have a big game. Michigan did not play very well offensively and still pretty much felt like they were in control of that game. I mean, I never felt like that game was going to get out of control. You had UConn fight back, but it's you got a team in Michigan that was it's the best team. I think the best team won the national championship.
Yeah, the best team won.
Michigan, when they talked about last time they won a national championship was 37 years ago, and it was a team with Loy Vaught and Sean Higgins. I still remember the team. Ramil Robinson, Sean Higgins, Loy Vaught, Mills. What was Mills? Sam Mills? No. It was Glenn Rice's MOP, but it was Ramil Robinson, Sean Higgins, Glenn Rice, Loy Vaught, and Mills. Terry Mills. I think it's Terry Mills.
God, what was his name? We were thinking about the 89 team yesterday.
Yeah, was it Terry Mills?
Terry, yeah.
It was Terry, yeah. And then the head coach was Steve Fisher. And it was a great story because they had all this crazy talent. Like, these guys were super talented, all five of them. They all went to the NBA. Yeah. All five of them. And the coach, Bill Frieder, right?
He left right before the tournament started.
Right before the tournament, it's like, oh, I'm out of here. I'm going to Arizona State. Did they get rid of him? He just left.
He took the job there, and he wanted to coach that team, but they said, no, if you're Arizona State's head coach, you ain't coaching this. It was Lane Kiffin stuff.
That's exactly right. And then the assistant coach, Pete Golding. The assistant coach, I can't even remember who the assistant coach was who took over at Ole Miss now.
It was Pete Golding.
Was it Pete? Yeah, it was Pete.
Yeah.
The assistant coach, Steve Fisher.
Steve
Fisher, thank you. Well, I remember the names of the players. That's good enough.
Do you? You didn't remember no, Terry
Steve
Mills.
Fisher, well, I knew it was Mills. I came up with Terry Mills earlier.
Yeah, Fisher you got quickly.
Doesn't matter. You see how much coffee still left? Doesn't matter. Steve Fisher, I still too much coffee left. But Steve Fisher did a good job, and Glenn Rice caught fire like we've never seen. And a team actually played to their – they just played to their potential. They were underachievers the whole year is what they were. And then they hit their stride, and they rolled through everyone, and Glenn Rice was incredible. Well, that team had one of the similar runs. Like, Michigan was beating the brakes off people in this postseason. Michigan went on a run, and they looked like the best team. Arizona was good. I feel like Arizona and – obviously, Arizona, I guess, is not the second-best team, but it just feels like – well, I can't say obviously. I think they were clearly the best team.
Yeah, actually.
They were. Yeah, Arizona's clearly the second-best team.
Yeah.
But I think Michigan – I think this – it played out kind of like – it played out like we thought. In the Super Bowl, we thought whoever wins – well, we thought whoever wins the NFC Championship game is going to win the Super Bowl, and then we thought whoever wins this Final Four game – between Arizona and Michigan's going to win a national championship. And that's kind of how it played out.
Yep. That's exactly how it played out. I thought they would be more dominant, but they just weren't. I mean, you got to give UConn credit for that. I mean, they showed up and they had pride. And you know what? I think you could not have watched that game against Arizona and thought, you know, we're going to take care of business here. But they showed up and they played really, really tough. And Michigan didn't have his A game. And still won,
yeah.
So that's good on them. Good on them. It was a good tournament.
So the final score was 6, right?
Yeah.
Six. How about the fact that they got the, rebound, Michigan, and instead of letting him get fouled, he throws it down the court.
Yeah.
And the line was 7.
Yeah. It was they got the lesson from the Duke game, just throw the ball up. Just throw it up, and you know what? Instead of dribbling around and get fouled, how about, yes, if he gets fouled, they cover. If he makes the free throws,
he just makes one, and you get a push.
Or win or push, or he just throws the ball away.
Yeah, but that's for the point spread. For those who don't care about that, that was a national championship.
Everybody cares about that.
You bought the game down, then you were like,
well,
just hang on to it. Don't make. Well, I know somebody who did.
Nobody would do that.
I know somebody who bought it down to 3.5 and was like, please don't.
3.5? How much did they have to give on that?
-180.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And it was -180, 3.5. And so he had to sweat the half court shot, and they didn't show it. You know, they threw it down, and UConn grabbed it, threw it forward, and there was a half court. They flung it up from half court right before the buzzer, and this guy said, "I'm sweating to make sure there wasn't a magic half court because you didn't see the shot. So the shot hit the you didn't see where it went." And he's like, "Oh my God, I'm sitting there looking. It's sitting there on 63." He said, "It's sitting there on 63," and I'm like, "It was like slow motion, making sure it didn't click all the way to 66." Because, you know, a three-pointer went in at the buzzer. So no one else would have thought about it, but this guy who was -3.5, it would have gone to a three-point win, and this guy would have lost. So it was kind of funny. There's always – somebody always has action in some kind of way that you don't even know, whatever. So
right.
Yeah, so it was – So the national championship's over. We move on to the next one. Rockets
the Cougs
playoffs
are
next.
For those of you that care, according to ESPN, the Cougs are 10th in the country next year. 10th in the country. Chase McCarty, it's going to be basically a couple of more rookies that are coming in. Two top 40 players in ESPN's top 100. JoJo Tugler, Chase McCarty, and Mercy Miller. And you know what? I think that you're still, you know, going to – Sinak is – I don't know that he is solid as far as going to the NBA, so we'll see whether or not he gets. He probably goes, but if he doesn't, the Cougs will be a tougher out for people. It sure would be nice to get a giant guy like Mara. And how about Lindeborg? How in the world is this guy a JUCO player, and then he's first-team All-America Big Ten Player of the Year? How does, in today's world, a guy as good as that slip through the cracks and is a JUCO player?
Well, was it? I haven't done the research on it, but look at his size. Like, I'm assuming he must. It must have been. Well, you can't really assume that he's 23 years old. You can't really assume this. I'll look up his background, because was there anything? I don't know. Because it's not like he was a 19-year-old who. Didn't get the grades or whatever. He's 23, so he's obviously. But John, it's amazing how many.
He did have bad grades. It caused him to go to a community college.
Is that what it was?
That's no such thing anymore.
Well,
no, that's how bad your grades have to be. If you can't get into a college now, your grades.
He didn't play for 2 years, I think, in high school because of bad grades.
So he just chronically doesn't want
to go to school. He was cut from the team mid-season due to poor academic performance.
Yeah.
So he had bad. He had great issues pretty much the entirety of his high school career, led to going to community college,
and then
eventually signing with a smaller
school.
So
I think you can listen to someone speak and kind of gauge a general sense of intelligence, not necessarily full intelligence. He seems like a relatively sharp person. That leads me to believe that he's got what we call, and I've been in that camp before, where you just like,
no sugar.
Yeah, it's exactly right. And the scary thing about that is, not to go too far into this, but you know, like draft guys are always trying to find, like I was talking to a personnel exec yesterday. We were going over some of these players, and the guy was talking about this linebacker from BYU, and he said, you know, you look at his picture at the combine, and he's fat. And I say, is he? And he sent a picture. I'm like, oh yeah, I wouldn't have thought anything about it, but I guess in the world of NFL, he's fat. And he said, the scouts in our building are trying to convince me that he's got this great, you know, work ethic, and that he's this high character guy. And I'm like, if he was high character and high work ethic, he wouldn't be a fat ass. Fat ass. If that guy's a fat ass, we're all fat asses.
Porky, hog, fat ass, double wide, butterball.
It does bother me if you have a guy who can't get anything done in grades but has some intelligence, because we all see people like that. Some of us even have, you know, family members like that. You just worry a little bit about whether or not they're going to put in everything that needs to be put into. But that dude can play, though, man. He's a good player. He didn't do a whole lot yesterday. Yesterday was just about.
Well, he's had a knee.
He's sitting on
a
high ankle sprain. Yeah, he's got a meniscus and an ankle sprain.
Right. So, all right, we'll see where. You didn't see anything all year long about where he's going to get drafted.
Nothing.
We'll see. He had to have risen up the board.
Well, he's 23 years old now, too, so he's
gone. That's true. All right, we got a break. 713-780-3776 is the number you want to get in here. This is a good time to be listening, because you may be somewhere, you may be in limbo right now as far as your career goes. You may be in limbo as far as money goes. You may be like, I don't know what I want to do with my life. Well, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, Local 66 in Houston, they want to talk to you. They've been around forever. They got over 4,800 members. It's a community built on craftsmanship, safety, and opportunity. They work on the electrical grid. You get, while you're training, you get paid. Learning, paid, on-the-job training, nationally recognized career in as little as 3 to 5 years. Well, you say, well, I don't want to take 3 to 5. This is a lifetime, people. And, oh, by the way, you're getting paid along the way. Earn while you learn. That's the approach that they take. You got high wages, full family health insurance, retirement planning, and you're doing something that is just awesome. You've got a career, and you've got something that you can fall back on all the time. IBEW Local 66. It's at 4345 Allen Genoa Road in Pasadena, or online IBEW66.com. You can call them at some.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh, damn it. Dylan Brooks had his technical rescinded. He can play against the Rockets. The Rockets now, it's working out just fine. The Rockets now just one game behind the Lakers for the four hole. They are a game and a half behind the Nuggets in the three hole, are the Rockets. They don't want the three hole. They want to be in the four hole. They want to host the Lakers in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a three-game lead now on Minnesota, so they don't have to worry about being the sixth seed. It's whether or not right now, probably, more than likely, the Nuggets have won nine in a row and are looking good. I'm not eliminating the Nuggets from the last two times the Spurs have lost, it's to the Nuggets.
Right.
So you got the Spurs in the two hole, the Nuggets in the three. Rockets take care of business against the Lakers and then upset Oklahoma City in five. And now you're taking up what could be the Nuggets, baby Jokic against Jokic, and maybe the student surpasses. And here the Rockets are in the NBA Finals.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
The student.
Baby Jokic passes the the real Jokic, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. You don't know.
I mean, yeah. You're right, because it is in the future if it happens, but I feel like I have a pretty good idea of how that would go.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess when the Rockets were in the six hole in 95, you had them winning it all.
Did they? Okay. Does this Rocket team have Hakeem Olajuwon on it?
No, it's got baby Jokic.
So not even the best version.
You don't have an answer to that.
Not even the best version of a Jokic. It's the baby version of a Jokic.
Yep, don't need it. Not the way he's
so
playing.
You'd rather have baby Jokic than actual Jokic.
Than actual Jokic, yep.
As well as Alpi's playing over the last 15 games or so, do you want to go through Jokic's numbers over the last 15 games?
No one knows. It's impossible to know what his
numbers
are.
It's not impossible.
Yep.
Because, I mean, we could have a discussion about which Jokic you'd like, baby or actual.
Actual.
Oh, okay. There it is. Okay. There's an answer.
Just
for
because
you.
They've won nine in a row, the Rockets
Jokic.
Have won six in a row. That's right.
That's right.
And you're about to pass.
We are
the
one
Lakers.
Of the hottest cities in Houston. I mean, hottest
well,
cities.
Has
in the
that,
country
has that
now.
Stopped now that you've lost three out of four in baseball?
Have we lost that many in basketball?
No, you said hottest cities.
I know we transferred it from baseball to basketball.
Last week you're using both to talk about how hot the city was.
I mean.
Has that now stopped?
Well, they're playing on the road right now, so I can't count how they play on the road.
Huh. So if the Rockets
win tonight. In Houston, we're red hot,
so
and
if
the temperature
Rockets
is
win
nice
tonight,
and comfortable.
The Rockets win tonight doesn't matter since it's in Phoenix. You don't count it?
Well, you don't care about this game, really.
I thought you
well,
just.
Well, I do, actually.
I thought you just started the segment saying, oh, it sucks that Dylan Brooks will
we're
play.
One of the hottest cities in the country.
Okay.
Yeah,
Phoenix
one of the
is
hottest.
Pretty hot, too, now.
I'd like for. And Houston's bats right now are still kind of hot.
They're really hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and one day the pitching will. You don't know this, but they're going big game hunting right now for a new pitcher.
Already?
Well, they have been
for
a while.
Oh, it's a continuation.
Yeah, it's a continuation.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. It's a continuation.
I didn't know that.
It's a big game continuation, yeah.
Do you have a name?
Dana would prefer not to say.
Oh, you've talked to Dana about this.
Well, I'm just listening to what he said a few months ago, big game hunting. I don't think he used the term big game hunting, but he said something to that effect.
Something like that.
Goodwill hunting, I think he said.
Yeah.
You think he's just a big fan of Damon and Affleck?
Should be. Don't do anything stupid, Jim. This is not the team. Don't be trading guys away because you want to, that's a Drayton move, thinking, we got to keep this thing afloat. We are in it for the championship.
The window is always open.
The window's always open is what he said, which felt like a Drayton thing, if I'm being honest. He's way smarter than Drayton. But you got to be smart enough to know, let's not do anything stupid here, boys. The window, we'll say the window's open, but maybe a championship window is not open. So we're not going to do anything dumb with any trades, nothing stupid. Just be smart, Jim Crane. Just let Dana Brown do some stuff, but don't let him do too much.
Yeah. No, Dana Brown is going to turn this pitching staff around. It's what he does.
Just do some stuff.
That's not what he does.
But don't
that's
do everything.
What he does.
That's yeah. not what he does.
All right, we got phone calls.
We do. Maybe.
Oh, we got a break, but. We do have phone calls. We have two phone calls.
Yeah, let's go to break, and then we'll get to the phone calls.
Here's our phone number, 713-780-3776. You can watch us on X. You can watch us on YouTube. There's a Twitch account, which actually they're not as nasty in the chat anymore. It's kind of lost their edge a little bit.
What?
Yeah, a little bit.
I hate that for them.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, some are. Of course, I've got some guys blocked, so maybe I can't just see what some of them are saying. But you can keep up with the show that way. Obviously, you can always listen on our app if you're not listening on the phone. But you can also, if you're not listening on the radio, I should say, but you can also watch the show every single day, as I mentioned. You can find it on Twitter. You can find it on YouTube for sure.
Or you can listen. You can just listen. That's a great way to do it, too. And listen to me and listen to John Clay Wolf. Today's Tuesday, Saturday. He's getting ready for his show on Saturday already. All right? Because he comes throughout the entire country. He is in, I think he's in every major market now in the country. He's one of the biggest and one of the best car buyers in the country. I mean, what he has done, how he has taken this business, how he has, what his business philosophy is tremendous. And a lot of people would say, wow, that's not smart. The old adage is buy low, sell high, right? Buy low, sell high. Not John Clay Wolf. Buy high, sell just a little bit higher. That's what he said. So I'm going to buy everybody's. I'm going to get the market. I'm going to corner the market because I'm going to get more for your vehicle than the other guys. And then I'm just going to make a little bit of profit. And in some instances, not make any profit. Maybe lose. That's okay, too, because I'm doing volume. Because everybody wants to sell to me because I'm GiveMeTheVIN.com, and I'm going to give you more. So it's obligatory. If you're selling your car, you have to know what it's worth. You find out what it's worth at one place, GiveMeTheVIN.com. And don't hesitate to go somewhere else. Bring John Clay Wolf's offer. And if they beat it, bring it back to John Clay Wolf and say, look what I got. And then he can beat it or says, go get that. GiveMeTheVIN.com. It's a place that you have to go every time you're selling your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
It's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Be joined. We're going to take your calls. Coach Sumlin's going to join us right now, though. We're taking that call because they got the Gamblers got their first win of their history, well, their new history. And Coach Kevin Sumlin walks away with a game winner as time expires, a 50-yarder. All right, Coach, what are you thinking as Hoyland is lining it up? Did you know he had enough leg?
Yeah, we knew long before that. And I know everybody was getting anxious. I've heard even my own players, but you know, I'm sitting on the bench with him before the game, like I do with all kickers. And I was like, "Hey, look, you know, all right, what do you like?" He goes, "Well, going that way, the other way, you know, I'm good from." And we talk about the kick line where we have to get the ball to. And he said, "Now going towards the where we come out," he goes, "I'm good from 60." And so, you know, we see him every day. He is, you know, right at 60 is kind of shaky, but there was a wind going that way, too. We, you know, we got lucky with the coin toss and doing things that way. But I've seen him every day, and I knew from inside of 60 yards he was good going that way, and that, he would have made that kick from 60. So, you know, we let the clock run down. We knew where the kick line was, you know, the 35-yard line. We got inside of that, and that wasn't going to be an issue.
Yep. You guys look good. I mean, first drive, you go down, you got first and goal and fumble. It shouldn't have been. You guys looked a lot better this week. That it's always in coaching. I've heard this, I don't know how many times. Week one to week two is possibly your biggest improvement, no?
Yeah. You know, usually the losing team the first week says that, right?
Yeah, so, right. That's true.
So I've stayed away from that because we won a bunch of first games. We got blown out the first game this week. You know, we still got a lot of improvement. You know, we got stopped inside the six four or five times, right? And so we kicked field goals. We end up winning the game, but we just had a team meeting, and, you know, for what all happened, to have the ball for 37 minutes, almost 38 minutes in a game, be 7-15 on third downs, and run the ball the way we ran it, you know, rush for 174 yards. Yeah, we ran 76 plays, and with that clock running the way it runs, and that's a lot of plays. We've got to have more points per play, you know, we challenged these guys this morning before we get out to the practice field to take another step. And if we can do that, you know, we continue to get better, then the W's will come just like they did last Sunday.
What'd you think? Well, first of all, Decker's looked pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, but he's, you know, then we lose him again. So, you know, I really thought that Nolan Henderson came in and you know, after being put on the bench last week and throwing the picks, two picks, you know, he came in and was effective. You know, he has got great, you know, he uses his legs. He had three carries for scrambles for 24 yards to give us a chance. You know, he was 7-12 and which was just good enough to get us into field position in a 2-minute situation to win the game. So, you know, those guys were good enough to win the football game. And I thought our O-line came to play and we were able to run the ball and control the clock and keep our defense off the field, which gave us a chance to win.
Yep. How about, is Duckers done or what's the deal?
Well, you know me, John. I'm not going to really comment about that. You know, okay. Last week you guys gave away my reverse pass and everything. Yeah.
That was Lance, okay? Hey,
I was just making a suggestion. That's all I was doing.
How did you?
All right. Let me just say something. I looked at your draft stuff the other day, too, because I was like, well, when these quarterbacks are getting hurt, he might have to go back to take a couple snaps. So, yeah, we got a couple guys on the team that have done it. Ty Locksley has done it. At UTEP, obviously Cropper did it in college too. Dontre Kirkland was everybody's quarterback guy and played every position in high school and played a little bit at LSU. But obviously, you know, we've got the guys that we want to play these guys are starting guys and, you know, Julia is here. So he was getting ready to go in the game. So he's our third guy, so he's going to get some more snaps this week just in case, you know, either one of those two guys can't play.
Yeah. How'd you like the stadium?
I love the place. Right? The players love it. And I told a bunch of people on the way out, the venue is awesome. The area around there is awesome. You know, my wife, my kids were like, the whole place over there from all the restaurants, bars, and you know, everything around it. But the venue itself, the players love it. The surface is great. It rained like crazy the night before. It was like an inch and a half of water, and the playing surface was fabulous. I mean, they do a great job there. The sight lines are great. We got to keep this thing rolling and get some more people in there because it gets loud in there with the few people we had. If we can get that thing up in the double digits in that stadium, it'll be rocking. So between the DJ, between everybody that was involved, you know, we really appreciate it. And we're going to do our part, but we need a little help. And I think for the fans and for the value, it's a great time, and we love being there. I ask the players to do the exit stuff. They love that venue because of how close it is.
Yep. That year's not a bad seat. Now.
And the weather's been, I mean, you know, had some rain, but I mean, the temperatures have not been bad. They're not bad this week, so.
No,
it's been awesome. It's been awesome. So, you know, we got D.C. this week, got to go to D.C. You know, they're defending champs, and we'll see where we go. And then we're back Thursday night, next Thursday, so in Houston. So, can't wait to get back.
That'll be fun. I looked across the field and I saw AJ McCarron. And I'm like, wait a minute. He's coaching already? Goodness gracious. How old are we? I was like, my God. AJ McCarron.
You just say, how old are you? Yeah. Not we.
Well, pretty sure you ain't getting younger. Okay. All right. Holy crap. You coached. Wait, he was on the field. You coached against him. Okay.
Yeah, a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like AJ. He's a heck of a competitor. He had some choice words for the officials, I guess. but we got a lot of mics on it. I have to watch my mother, a 92-year-old mother, was not happy with my choice of words because it was Easter Sunday as well. So There's good and bad about all these mics and cameras and drones and stuff during these games. It's hard to hide anything, your true feelings. So, if you're listening, Mom, I apologize again. but that's football. But I said at least what I said a couple times wasn't nearly as bad as what AJ let out of his mouth. So. Hey, you know, it was a complete win. I can blame somebody else.
Nope. That's Coach Kevin Sumlin, Houston Gamblers, going to D.C. this week and then back afterwards on the Thursday night game there at the Dynamo Stadium. Coach, man, we appreciate it. Congratulations on the win. Way to go. Way to get it done. And good luck against D.C.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you next week.
All right. We'll see you, Coach.
There is Coach Kevin Sumlin. Joining us every week right here on ESPN 97.5. That's it. Break in here and you get your calls in on the other side. 713-780-3776. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.